Mindset Transformations Radio Show with your host, Coach Myrna. Do you feel the need to do more with your life? Are limiting beliefs holding you back from true success? Enjoy a unique blend of interviews, discussions, and transformation coaching in every show. Get the tools for success. The Mindset Transformation Radio Show with your host, Coach Myrna.
Welcome to the Mindset Transformation Radio Show. I'm your host, Coach Myrna Young. And today I want to share with you one of my starting points in my 6-week coaching workshop, and that is discovering who you are. So we're going to be calling this episode today, Who Am I? You see, we can never become who we were meant to be unless we can first recognize who we are. To know thyself is to grow yourself. So, let's dive right in. I want to share with you just a little bit about me, because hopefully you are a regular on this program, and you have some background on me. But we're always looking for new listeners, so I'm just going to share a little bit about me. I am a certified life coach specializing in mindset and consciousness. In 2012, I wrote my first book called Becoming Conscious, My Awakening. Because it was at that time that I actually started to understand who I was. And Deepak Chopra and Abraham Hicks and Dr. Dwayne Dwyer were some of the coaches that allowed me to dive deep into my past, dive deep into some of the things that I'm going to be talking to you about on this episode, and actually understand who I was. From then, I knew that I wanted to become a life coach as I understood and began to have a handle on my purpose and what am I supposed to do with who I was. So in 2014, I became a certified life coach, started off my business focusing on helping entrepreneurs become successful in their businesses, and I've since branched off to what I do best, and that is understanding the mind, understanding how consciousness affects our daily living, and, you know, understanding that we are here for a purpose and we are here to do something, to leave a legacy when we're gone. So in this episode, I'm going to walk you through the first part of a 6-week coaching workshop that I've designed. So you probably are going to want to listen to this when you're not driving, because it's going to require some work. So what I would suggest that you do is definitely, if you're not yet a subscriber to my podcast, then you'll definitely want to listen to the podcast episode for this program. And the podcast can be found by searching for the Transform Your Mind with Coach Myrna on iTunes. If you don't have an iPhone, you can actually pick up the podcast from my blog, and that is at blog.myhelps.us, or you can listen on YouTube. Just search for the Mindset Transformation YouTube channel. But I would like you to share this with your friends, and also please rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast so that I can keep doing this and keep bringing you content. So, question number one. What are my deepest and truest values? The first step in understanding who you are is what you believe. Because what you believe is your journey. It doesn't just happen. It's almost like breadcrumbs that shows, you know, where you've been. And that's how you become your values or set. So your deepest values are the ones that no one can move you off of. Your deepest values are the one that, if not met, hurt the most. Your truest values are the ones that make you cry. So I'm going to give you some examples. Let's say your deepest value is that you would never hit your child because you were abused as a child and you vowed never to hit your child when you had one. But you get married and your spouse believes in spanking. He or she believes what the Bible says, that if you spare the rod, you will spoil the child. So your spouse spanks your child. It hurts you so much that you are forced to file for divorce. Irreconcilable differences. Now that's an extreme case, but it happens. Another example is that you were brought up that nice girls do not have sex before marriage. Your mom, you know, told you a story, or somebody told you a story, or something happened to you when you were younger, maybe you were raped or whatever, but your value now is that you do not believe in sex before marriage. And it's a deal breaker in your relationships. Because somebody that does not have that value will not stick around. So your dates either leave you or they cheat on you, but you still can't bring yourself to change that value and have premarital sex because it is one of your deepest and truest values. And as a result, you're single and unmarried at age 40. You know, there might be somebody that will come around that will have your same value, and then you'll be happy. But, you know, we don't always meet the people that are like us. In fact, sometimes we're not even attracted to the people that are like us because we need some kind of differences to create that spark. How about another one? Your deepest value could be how you feel about charity. I personally never passed someone in the street begging for money. I feel that it is a blessing to have a dollar to give, and I truly empathize with them. My husband, on the other hand, feels that everybody can find a job, and only the worthless people stand at the corner and beg. And that is his deepest value, especially if it's a young person that he knows can work. You know, not a deal breaker, but that is just basically how his value is, and it could have come from, again, something, you know, he witnessed as a child or something that his father put in his mind. But like I said, your values always come from some kind of experience or life experience. Your deepest value could take the form of image or status. You may be willing to endure a passionless marriage if it gives you status in your community. There are lots of big houses with white picket fences that house very unhappy families because they choose image and status over happiness and a healthy relationship. One of my deepest values was on domestic abuse. I never actually witnessed any or was never involved in any, but respect was always deep in one of my core beliefs. So when my ex-husband slapped me, I divorced him. Simple as that. Wouldn't say it was right. Now that I look back, it probably wasn't. But at the time, the value I had was never to become a battered woman. And I knew that if he hit me once, he would hit me again. So that was it. It was written in stone. It was the line that I drew in the sand. My daughter was only 5 years old at the time. Most women would not have that value. Most women would say, well, you know what? Giving my daughter a family and a father would take precedence over, you know, so he slapped me around once in a while or something like that. But mine was more of self-centered, you know. I respected myself, and I couldn't live in when I thought that I was a battered woman and didn't have value. So you should never judge somebody for their values, because that is who they are. And it what makes all of us a unique being. Another one, your truest value could be how you love and receive love. Do you believe that you could only love one person and there's only one true love for any of us and for you? But if you believe that, what happens if you get a divorce or your spouse dies? Does that mean that love is over for you, since you believe that there's only one person for each and every one of us? On the flip side of that, how do you receive love? I heard a story once about a woman who would ask her husband every day if he loved her. And he would say the same thing. Of course I love you, honey. Yet that she did not believe him. She would ask him again the next day. Honey, do you love me? Because she felt love by how much attention she received from her husband. As her insecurities grew, she required more and more attention. And you know where I'm going. The marriage ended in divorce. So, your deepest value could also be in why you feel you are here on this earth, in this body, at this particular time. Do you take the time to consider your purpose and your legacy? And if you do, then it could be one of your deepest values, what you give to this earth and why you are here. So those were some examples of how you find out who you are by looking at your values. The next question I'm going to ask you to ask yourself is, what are my preferences and my priorities? Give you some examples. You ask yourself, what kind of house would I like to live in? You know, you never think that where you are right now is your final destination. You should always aspire for greatness, always aspire, even when you have... You could be living in a million-dollar mansion. It shouldn't be your ending place. You should always grow. Maybe you want a $5 million one, right? So ask yourself, what kind of house would I like to live in? What country would I like to live in if I had a choice? Do I prefer a beachfront home? Do I want a view of the mountains? Or do I want to live in like a forest with lots of trees and greenery? Visualize yourself sitting on the porch of your dream home. See how you feel. You know, you can go, if you're a very visual person, you can take it all the way. You can see what you look like. You can see what you're wearing. You can see who's with you. You visualize yourself in your dream home, living in your dream country. Maybe you have several houses. You know, I myself, you know, visualize my dream home in Italy, in the Amalfi Coast, because we were just there, and it's beautiful, and I love mountains. So that would be my choice, all right? Another preference is, how do I like my men? You got to know. Do I like them tall, dark, and handsome, which is the favorite answer to this question, or am I looking for a spiritual connection? And don't care what form the package takes. Now, that's deep. You know, if you're looking for the connection, the chemistry, and how you react to each other, those are the ones that usually last the longest, because it's almost like a soulmate, right? What kinds of music do I like? You can ask yourself. What kind of music takes me to that good place and transforms me? When I am, you know, drained, what energizes me? What do I listen to that would energize me? Not only are these good to know for yourself, but it's good to know to tell your partner so they can know how to please you and what you like. Which brings me to my next one. What are my preferences during sex, you might ask? Do I like it with the lights on or off? Now, that's a simple one because we're on the radio, but, I mean, you can ask yourself some, you know, much deeper questions about what it is you like, right? What forms of entertainment do I prefer? Do I like going to the movies, going dancing, or just staying at home with a good book or watching TV? That sometimes is a deal breaker. You know, I have known a lot of couples that, you know, you might think it's the guy that wants to go out all the time and leave his wife at home, but there's sometimes there's another way around. The husband doesn't want to go anywhere, and he wants to sit on the couch, and he's happy looking after the kids, and he tells his wife, you can go with your friends. But we all know that that gets old. We don't want to go with our friends all the time. We want to go out with our partner and have fun. So, I mean, you know, knowing what you like when you meet somebody that doesn't like the same things that you like, you know, you're conscious of it. I mean, you might decide it's not a deal breaker, but a lot of people don't even think about it, and then it becomes a deal breaker. So, you know, you can also ask yourself, if I didn't have to work, what would I do? Now, this is the big one to understanding your purpose and your talents and your gifts and all that. So this is a very important question on that. What would you do if you won $1 million? You know, so it's a perfect question to really understand your passion. And that's big. All right? And the final question is, who are my priorities in life? You know, do my children come first? Or does my spouse come first? And this causes a lot of problem in some families. You know, you need to know. I mean, it's neither wrong or right, but you need to know who comes first. If your husband wants to do something and your child calls you and wants you to come visit, and you drop everything and you go, you know that your child comes first, right? And then the big question, where does God fit into your life? Is he somewhere at the bottom that you get to, or you made him the top priority? You got to know these things. And do I make healthy eating and exercise a priority, or do I just fit it in whenever I can and when I find the time? You know, that was a bonus question. But, you know, you don't even need to ask yourself that question. You know that one. All right. So, yeah. So that's basically the first two questions. You know, if you have any comments, feel free to comment on my blog or, you know, send me an email or something, you know. And you know, you can tell me, you know, some of your preferences or some things you think I might have missed. All right. Number three. Ask yourself, what genuinely makes me happy? Now, this is hard for me to, you know, give examples because there's going to be a plethora of things that makes different people happy. So what I decided to do for this question is that I decided to become transparent to you, my listeners, and just tell you the list of things that makes me happy so that you can understand where I'm going with it, and it would help you make your list as well. So be sure to put this on paper, put all these questions on paper, and because when you write them down, you give them form, and you actually activate the law of attraction. Okay? So, all right, the number one thing that makes me happy are my children. Seeing my daughter, hugging my daughter and my son, making sure that they're happy. That makes me happy, the number one thing. Number two is feeling the love from my husband and just being wrapped up in his big, beautiful arms. Boy, he gives the best hugs. making a difference in the life of another. And that's why I became a coach. I really get a high from seeing people succeed in life and doing well. And especially if I had something to do with it. It's beautiful. Makes me very happy. Seeing progress and something I'm working on as well. I am happy if I'm moving the needle. You know, when I started my first business, which was a limousine service, I was incredibly happy when, you know, somebody, you know, rented a limousine. I was incredibly happy when I had success on the phone. I was incredibly happy when I grew my business 30% every year because I did it all on my own. I had no experience when I started, when I bought my first limousine and I had my own, you know, started my limousine business. I read it in a book, and I decided that that's what I wanted to do. So every time I moved the needle, every time I had success in something, it made me very happy because I did it. Also, I'm very happy if I'm successful in something that I dreamed about, achieving a goal that I've worked for, right? In my life, I've seen the hand of God and synchrodestiny in my life so many times. And I'm so happy when God's word shows up and everything works out for my good. You know, it's absolutely amazing when you know that you have favor with God and that, you know, he makes extraordinary things happen. And that makes me very happy, you know. I'm also very happy when my higher self or the Holy Spirit guides me to achieve extraordinary results. I am very, very intuitive, and, you know, I would sit down and I would get these guidance and notifications, and it always guides me to achieve extraordinary results. So one of the reasons I meditate and keep my mind, you know, at peace is so that I can hear, you know, when the Holy Spirit or my higher self gives me instructions. So makes me very happy when they work out, and they usually do. Rain. Anything to do with rain, boy, that's my passion. Listening to the rain, walking in the rain, just rain, period. I love it. I heard Farrah Fawcett say once, you know, she was dying, of course, and somebody was interviewing her. And she said that she loved rain so much that she was going to miss it when she's no longer alive. And I thought, wow, somebody like me. She also ended up by saying that she hoped that there was rain in heaven. I thought, yeah, me too. Yeah, I'm sure there's lots of rain in heaven. Anything that's good, that's where it's going to be. Walking on the beach and listening to the waves. Being in the presence of God in praise and worship, walking in nature, watching a good movie or watching my favorite show, Big Bang Theory, watching Idris Elba get out of bed in his underwear. He's so fine. Sorry, babe, but he's a fine piece of specimen. And he just makes my eyes pop open. My. Walking in nature, being a mother and taking care of my kids. And finally, loving my man. So, I give you my list. Now it's time to work in your list. It's very important to know what makes you happy so that you can go to your happy place when you feel bad. Go to your happy place when some things are not working out, when you're almost depressed and you need to give yourself a little jolt. You know, so always know your happy place. Good. So we're moving right along. And the fourth question that I want you to ask yourself on in this topic of discovering who am I is, what are my subconscious patterns and my ways of reacting? Very, very important. Most people are unconscious when it comes to their patterns and how they're reacting because it's become habitual, and they do it unconsciously. So if you were to go back and look at yourself, look at how you react to things, and become aware of it. And that means that the next time, it wouldn't be subconscious anymore. So you ask yourself, how do I react when I feel rejected? Do I seek revenge? Do I get even? Or do I go out and eat a pint of ice cream? Very, very important to know. How do I look at the world? Do I see abundance or do I see scarcity? One of the ways to test this is you ask yourself, do I feel jealous when my friends get a promotion or find love? Am I glad for them or do I secretly hope that they fail? You know, this is not judgment, just understanding. You know, we are all human beings, and it's jealousy is understandable. But you've got to teach yourself to be happy for your friends. Because when you do, you are attracting abundance into your life. If you are jealous, what you're saying to the universe is that there's not enough to go around, and you're jealous because you think they've gotten something that should have been yours, that they have taken your share. So that means that you have a spirit of lack. And when you have a spirit of lack, you will not see abundance in your life. So say to yourself, if God can do it for them, he can do it for me. If they got a promotion, then I can get a promotion too. If they got a great spouse, man, woman, whatever, then I can also get myself a great spouse or a great man or woman, right? You also need to know what are your triggers. What are your triggers when you feel, you know, to make you feel rejected? When do you pick up the phone and call your old lovers? Is a trigger when you can't get your husband on the phone or your wife on the phone and you think that he or she is cheating and you feel that you're going to have revenge and you decide to pick up the phone and call those old lovers that are no good for you? You know, if you have a problem with drugs, what is your trigger? What makes you go back into the old habit? That's even more important than calling the old lovers, because that's debt. So you need to know these things. You know, one of the things I know about myself is that I don't bear malice. I get angry for a few days, and then I forgive, right? Unless it's the third time. I have a 3-strike rule. But because of that, whenever I get mad, you know, I know it's not going to last very long. My husband also knows that, too. Just stay out of my way for a couple of days, and then everything will be fine. But, you know, there's times when I wish that I can bear malice, because sometimes I don't want to forgive, you know? You know, I mean, I'm talking about the little stuff, not the big things that keeps you in bondage. But, so you need to know yourself. So understanding your patterns are so important, because consciousness is the only way to break them. All right, so let's take a quick break so that we can hear a word from our sponsor, and I'll be right back with the number 4 question that you can ask yourself. Stay tuned. Be right back.
I just can't recall. Who am I to sing this somber song? When you've got 6 heads, there's something wrong.
Who am I?
Please tell me.
Who am I?
Do you know me?
My name could be Clementine, or
it could be Freddy.
I just can't recognize myself. I don't know if I'm ready.
I'm ready.
Who am I?
I have a right.
I have so many features, it makes it hard to tell. I don't know what my first name is.
whom am I speaking?
I don't know.
Okay, welcome back to Mindset Transformation Radio Show and podcast. I'm your host, Coach Myrna Young, and today we are checking and talking about understanding who we are. We're going through some questions that we can ask ourselves to understand who we are, because who we are is how we show up in all our personal interactions. And it is very important to know who you are, because you can never achieve success until you know who you are. Now, as a coach, I have designed a 6-week package, and we start off with in week one in discovering or gaining clarity on who we are. And I thought that I would share that with you on the radio and on this podcast. So we are now at number 5, actually. So I was wrong before the break. We are at number 5. So number 5 is a big one. We're going to spend some time here. We're going to linger a little bit. And this is to ask yourself, what are my fears and how did they become mine? And the reason this is an important question is because fears are bottom feeders. Fears keep you at the tail and not the head of the table. And if you have fears, you must face them and replace them. Fear can also keep you bound in a bad or abusive relationship because you're afraid to leave. You're afraid that you're not going to find any better. You're afraid that you're not going to be successful. So, you know, like I said, we're going to spend some time here because you need to understand what you fear. We're not talking about, we know that you fear snakes or spiders or stuff like that. We're talking about those unconscious fears that we're not even aware that we have, right? And here are some of the common fears. Do you fear getting old? Do you fear being alone? Do you fear being homeless? Do you fear getting fat? Do you fear your spouse would leave you? Do you fear losing your job? Do you fear debt? So I am going to segment now into some supporting data to help you overcome your fears and find joy. Because we've got to remember that fear is an energy. You know, thoughts, which is what fear is, are the most powerful energy force in the universe. And they can either be positive or they can be negative. And heading up the rear of all negative thoughts is fear. Like I said, it is the bottom feeder. You can't go any lower than that. And when you live in fear, you feel bad all the time, or at least most of the time. And if you allow fear to linger in your body and in your mind, it will not only attract the thing that you fear the most into your experience, but it will also bring disease to your body. All, and I mean all, and my pastor loves to say all means inclusive of everything, exclusive of none. All diseases can be traced back to negative thoughts and emotions, because negative thoughts and emotions transform your body into an acidic state. And diseases are always acidic. In the fear mode, your body is activated into the fight or flight responses. And it's only meant for you to stay there for a couple of seconds. But when you live in fear, that means you are activating this flight or fight response all the time. And this is how your body reacts in a fight or flight response. It tenses. Your breathing gets shallow. Your heart palpitates. Your blood pressure is elevated. Your hands and body sweat. Not a good place to dwell. Not a good place to stay in for more than a couple of minutes. So today, as we, you know, end this, this segment and podcast, I want to teach you how to use positive energy to clear the negative energies of fear. But first, I want to digress a little and touch on one of the spiritual laws of the universe. And that law is the law of sowing and reaping. Now, we all know of the physical laws, like gravity, and some laws are spiritual, like the sowing and reaping, and then some of them are quantum. But understanding the law of sowing and reaping can change your world. Understanding and becoming conscious that whatever you create in the spiritual world will manifest in the physical world. Put another way, it means that whatever you plant in your mind will grow in your physical world, which means what you think about, you bring about. I'm sure that everybody's heard that, and it's not hocus pocus. It is absolutely true. Just like planting an apple tree, in the spiritual world, the soil is your mind. The seeds are your thoughts. The water are your actions. And the sun is your feelings. So you plant that stuff in your mind, and you water it, and you give it sunlight, right? And guess what? It will grow. And if you allow your fear to dwell in your heart and mind every day, you will have an apple orchard in your reality. No ifs, ands, and buts. Because energy flows where attention goes, and whatever you focus on expands. So remember, everything is energy, and all energy attracts similar energy. And you can't put out negative energy and expect positive results. You can't plant an apple tree and expect oranges. You can't focus on what you fear and produce a successful result. If you're constantly thinking of the things you fear, you're planting a seed, and based on the universal law of sowing and reaping, it must germinate. Your mind or consciousness is connected to reality. Think about something long enough and strong enough, and it will eventually grow into your reality. These are the six words that you must stamp in your mind. You become what you think about, right? So when you realize that your mind is a garden, you'll begin to plant only the things you desire. So write down something that is opposite of what you fear and start giving it the same attention you have been giving your fear. And since light conquers darkness, it will eventually have your fear for a lunch or dinner. This means that whatever you fear, you will attract. So if you fear being alone, guess what? You're attracting it. You're going to be alone. If you fear your spouse will leave you, be prepared for that reality. So it is very, very important to replace your fears with your desires. Your desire is to always be in a passion filled relationship and a healthy relationship, and what you do is you work towards making sure that that happens, not because you fear being alone, but because you have something to give and that you are the person that someone wants to be around. And guess what? They will be around, because that's the energy you're putting out, right? If you fear your spouse will leave you, then be the best spouse. You know, nobody leaves somebody that's the best that they can be, right? Treat him or her like a king or queen, even when they don't deserve it, right? You just be the best that you can be and work on that. So, all right. So as we wrap up this episode, let's recap. You ask yourself these questions. Who am I? What are my deepest values? What do I care about the most in this world? And you can even have a hierarchy. This is what I care about the most, the second, this is the third. What are my preferences and priorities? It's good to know them. Some people live their whole life without having their preferences and priorities because they feel that they should always settle, right? Know your preferences, and the universe will bring them to you, right? Who or and what is important to me? Decide. What is important to you? You know, who is important to you? And when you understand who or what is important to you, you'll act accordingly, right? What makes me happy? What images make me cry? It's good to understand these things. How do I react to things or people who hurt me? It's called a pattern. Interrupt the pattern. If the pattern is negative, you got to interrupt it. But the only way you can interrupt it is if you know it and understand it and become conscious of it. And we ended up with, what do I fear the most? Or what do I fear, period? Right? And so then you're going to replace that fear. You're going to work every day on replacing that fear, that negative energy, with something positive. I didn't go through the emotional chart, but, you know, you can move up. You know, the fear is at the bottom, you know, and then you go to, you know, like, I don't know, I don't have it in front of me, but, you know, anger and doubt and, you know, blame and all these different things are all bad emotions. But the great thing about it is that you can move up that spectrum. And even though you may, you know, the blame, I think, is probably the very next one, because blaming people for what's happening to you in your life means that you're not taking responsibility and you're always becoming a victim. So I think the blame is the next one up. So, you know, you go through them, and, you know, even anger is in the middle. Even though you might think that anger is bad, but anger is in the middle, because at least anger is an energy that moves things. So that is what I had to share on finding out who am I and who you are. I hope that you found some stimulation and some aha moments from some of the things I talked about. And like I said, I am a certified mindset coach, and this is part one of my 6-part coaching program. And I start this way because bringing clarity to who you are is very important. You know, you can't change a thing if you don't know what it is, right? And because that is how you show up in all your personal reactions, whether it's you're a manager, whether you're a spouse, whether you're a mom, whether you're a friend, who you are is who shows up, right? And you got to know. And to see if you're a good fit for this program, you can schedule a 10-minute conference call with me. It's a free call. And then we can just, you know, quickly talk about, you know, where you want to go in life. What is your goals? What you're aspiring to become? And see if I'm a good fit for you and if you're a good fit for me. And if we find out that, you know, we're a good fit, then we can go on to the second portion where we would have a free, again, 60-minute strategy session. And there we will, you know, set a plan for what the 6-week program is going to entail, because it's going to be customized to, you know, what you want to achieve. So you can schedule the calls either by, you know, calling my 800 number, which is 888-569-3182, or by sending me a note on my website, which is www.myrnayounghelps.com. That is MYRNAYOUNGHELPS.com. All right, so Thank you so much for tuning in to this episode of the Mindset Transformation Radio Show and the Transform Your Mind podcast with Coach Myrna. Be sure to tune in on the radio every Wednesday on your afternoon drive between the hours of 5 and 6 to listen to this weekly broadcast. If you can't tune in on the radio, then as I mentioned before, you can subscribe to the podcast, and I would love for you to do that. And it's on iTunes and all the other podcasts. And you can also pick it up from my blog, which is blog.myhelps.us. And please remember to subscribe, rate, and review the podcast, so that I will be encouraged to continue to share. So until next time, I hope you have a blessed week, and namaste.